Well, I know that all of you would be love to be in my position at this point to try to keep Navigator leaders awake the hour after lunch. We'll just say, John's already gone to sleep. Thank you very much. That'll keep him awake. Moving the furniture up there. It's really a delight when I think of where we've come from in attitudes, in just openness. I think perhaps 5 or 10 years ago, if we went through some of these sessions that we went through with Pete and then just exposing some of our needs and the things that I exposed you to this morning as a result of that research, there'd be a real tension. But it's a wonderful thing. I think the Lord is working in our hearts, in our lives. We're ready to just listen to what God has to tell us through all this. And I just am very, very impressed how the Lord's working in our midst. And I think there's a lot of what we're talking about here. There's no way we could walk out tomorrow and apply it. But we're looking at the next 4 or 5 years to bit by bit make these a part of our lives, our ministries, and I would imagine there's going to be just a lot of new ideas and creativity in this, and it'd be fun in another 2 or 3 years to come back, be sharing some of the things that are going on in our midst and what we're changing, what's going, what's staying, all the rest. So anyhow, I just think the Lord has just blessed us in these times with an open spirit. If you had to list the items that would provide credibility for a Navigator leader, what would they be? What gives a Navigator leader credibility? Let's just play with that just for a second. Okay. So, you said competence? Would experience be the same thing as competence? What are you saying, competence, skill?
Not theoretical.
Okay. Well, then it's different than what you're saying here. Okay. The what? Success in the ministry, you mean? Okay. Okay, so this is associated with the job description. Okay.
I think impact.
Impact?
Yeah.
Could you explain that?
I think that the impact that he is having on the life of the individual. In other words, there's a response from their leadership.
Okay, so there's a sense, there's an obvious hand of blessing upon his ministry. Yeah, Justin. Influence? Would that be the same?
That's what I'm saying. That's the word.
Okay.
People are willing to follow.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Okay. What do you mean position? Organizationally, huh? Okay? Integrity. Well, you see the problem. I guess we could keep going on. No, I'm just asking this to... Primarily, it's interesting that, you know, influence is based, from my observation, on three things. It's credibility, it's relationship, and it's platform. A man to be influential has to have all three, or a woman, either one. Platform to operate from, and relationships to get in there, and credibility. And we can help people with relationships. They have to build them. We can provide platform. But credibility is something that is won and established by the man. And as I've moved around and looked at different situations and talked to different people to try to whittle it down, I was interested because I was chatting with someone last night that had done that as well. And there are just some basic things. But it comes out of our value system. It comes out of where we're... what we believe is important, and all of these things, what you're reflecting, is very important to us. But it's a very important subject, credibility. And to build that, to develop that, you can't give it away. You must establish it yourself. And I was primarily just interested in this, because this would affect a lot of what you're doing with your leaders. This would affect a lot of the expectations of that they would have of you. It's pretty awesome when you think of that. I think one of the things we have noticed that probably one of the biggest areas of credibility, unfortunately, is position. It's interesting how often people, when you have something to talk over or have something that needs to be done, you always move vertically. Move vertically to someone who get time with, talk about. If something's important in your mind, you need to talk to someone who has position. And I think it's still a residual carryover and from our history. Position's important to us. Quality of spiritual life, we know that. Gifts and experiences and demonstration, as you've talked about here. But it's be something you just might want to give some thought to. What is it that builds credibility? And one of the things that came up in the survey is that credibility isn't necessarily the thing that are people looking for in the assignment of leaders or the selection of leaders. It's never really come up that way. So you might give some thought to it. How's your credibility? How's my credibility? What's it based on? It would help us a little bit. I just wanted to also just go back and touch one thing, is that in this area of that we talked about these models, there is a sense in which we, because we've grown up, and this has been part of our history, the gospel's model, give or take what we've discussed here, there's a sense that we almost don't see or don't appreciate the other ones. But I just would drop one area of thought in your mind, that to give some thought to this one. If this, in fact, these are some of the ingredients that are needed for penetration, for movement. It is my thinking that the movement will not come out of the Gospels type of model only. But it'll come out when we have these kind of things happening. And there's a transition into it. And we just need to think through, how are we in there? We give very little emphasis in this area, very little thinking. We perhaps don't even appreciate some of the things that go on in this area. And in your own time, and as you think over these next months and the years, or perhaps with your team, give some more thought to that as to what we need to do and what some of our adjustments. And how do you pull the Gospels model back into where the epistles is going on? You're established, you're working, but there needs to be that flow back to see the Gospels and the aspects of the of the Acts model. These things are needed, otherwise our leaders are not going to develop those things which we know are vital that they do develop. So just give some thought to that, and any other feedback. I've got some very good feedback on some of that already, and then even some of the that little triangle as well. So I appreciate that. If we could turn to page 12 in your pages that you've received, titled The Triad of Developmental Relationships. Over the rest of the afternoon and tomorrow, we'll concentrate on the various aspects of the triad. Triad of Developmental Relationships. After we had taken the survey over the last months, as a matter of fact, I've asked 10 different staff what they expect from their supervisor. What are their expectations? What do they want from him, the supervisor? I got things like friendship, depth in relationship, counseling, help with my family, my wife, and the marital relationship, training children, development in leadership, development in secularization and the three E's, development in certain aspects of equipping that might be unique, development of theology, life-to-life sharing, and the list goes on. And it was quite awesome. So what I did was went back to a number of their leaders, to people and in casual conversation and as well as directed, asked them, what do they really feel they could give to the people who they supervise? What do they feel responsible to give? Well, the list was somewhat overlapping, but a lot smaller. When I probed in further to find out, do you really, in fact, feel you could give much of this? I mean, over the last year, have you? Found out that there was very little that can be done in some of these areas. Some areas, yes. Some areas, no. And I find that our history right now, and because perhaps coming out of a strong background of our militaristic background of thinking, or even the gospel model emphasis, or whatever it might be, there's a tremendous weight put on this area of the supervisor. This particular the relationship right here has been unrealistically overburdened. In my estimation, we are looking to the supervisor to provide everything. He has to be the expert in all areas. One fellow told me, he said, I'm now posed with a problem. I'm supposed to know how to develop women, develop them. He said, I've never done that before. What do I do? But he felt completely responsible to do that. One of his men was really getting interested in secularization, and he didn't feel equipped at all to do that. But suddenly felt he needs to be the expert in the reaching the secularized. Wow. Boy. So this area is one that we've got to give relief to. We've got to somehow take the pressure off, take the expectations off it, give it relief so that the supervisor can be doing things as well that are on his heart. For instance, ministry. We need to take it off, take the pressure off that he himself can find time to minister to the others that he has. As a matter of fact, we need to free him so that he can strengthen his staff, build relationships among the other staff, that we can, in effect, flatten out the organizational chart emotionally and psychologically. When we develop relationships with a mentor and a peer and broaden out, we then allow avenues, developmental avenues, for each one of us. So in the rest of our time, I'd like to be spending the time on each one of these aspects, looking at them in more detail. What does it mean to have these three relationships going? What is involved? How do we pull it off? And then we can perhaps see our way to begin relieving this, but not only relieving it, but making it more effective, realistically, and then looking at the mentor and the peer. Many of you have heard about this, many have looked at it, but I'd like to go into detail so we really understand it. So if you flip over on page 13, we can get started looking at the first aspect here. Apprenticing, as I've called it, is a formal relationship between the supervisor and subordinate for the purpose of these four that I've listed. Supervision involves the overseeing of direction, the overseeing of all that's going on perhaps in that area, overseeing of his responsibilities. Development, of course, involves both professional, ministry, leadership, skills, and abilities. Coordination, his or her efforts, coordinating his or her efforts with the efforts of others and the staff, so that it takes place within a context. And an incorporation, that is, drawing his or her gifts and strengths and ministry to fit in with the overall plan, the strategy, or whatever else you have for your area or your ministry. So the apprenticing relationship is what we understand as the supervisor and the subordinate. The relationship is basically established to function and meet the organizational needs. We need to be related. We need those certain things. And this supervisor then takes the responsibility for the subordinate in certain areas. And it's not always true that the chemistry results that this relationship will have a deep, intimate relationship or have this heart relationship we talk of, or that the supervisor can handle all of the needs of this particular subordinate. And so let's take a better look at this and see how we can operate within these areas, and perhaps if there's something that we can develop further, I'll touch base on that other aspects that come in, that's just a plus. Now, I think one of the things that in the bottom you see that chart here, the one thing I want to point out is that when a person is called into the navigators, he's primarily called to do a ministry, to reproduce laborers, to reach people and help them become laborers. And he's very involved in the ministry. And suddenly, he has certain proficiency and perhaps gifts along the line that he can shepherd and help others. He moves to what I was telling you earlier, to a supervisor position. It's at this point on where the difficulty comes in. Up till now, he's never done anything that will directly prepare him for it. Now, he's been one. He's perhaps watched his leader. He's done certain things. But there are a lot of things that are a bit difficult for him. I have found, as I've gone around over the last years and somewhat in the survey, it's come out that this is the critical area. Something goes wrong, for instance, he takes on the responsibility of several other staff. Something goes wrong and suddenly he says, how did I get into this anyhow? I mean, I really wasn't called to do this. I was called to do the ministry. Or you talk to some of the staff and they'll say, what I want to do is get back to the grassroots. Sometimes what they're expressing is this frustration. They've been placed in a responsibility they have not been prepared for. Now some, of course, who might be gifted along those lines and quickly pick it up, or have experience in other areas, see this and begin to move up the line because they really respond to it. They're good at it, and it's an area they like to do. But I find that here is the point of difficulty for many, and we're not preparing them to move from direct to indirect ministry. And if you jump over or just turn the page over to the next page, you'll see that there are some adjustments we need to make in order to handle this. Now, it's important we understand these adjustments, because if we understand them, we can help not only ourselves, but we can help those who are coming along. Because if we're going to expand, we've got to have more people being able to help others. Now, what I'd like you to do is, again, just work in these little buzz groups, three or so, right where you are, and look at these four areas. What are some of the adjustments you had to make? In the psychological area, things that bothered you or were difficult to overcome, the spiritual area, the ministry area, and the leadership area. I'd like you to take about 10 minutes or so to just work through that and write down, brainstorm as many of those things as you can, and then we'll share them a little bit. But let's just work on that. What were those things that you had to adjust to in those four areas? So go ahead and go to work on that, and just with your partners or whatever, and see what you can come up with.
leadership in Jesse, and the leadership.
The kind of leadership? The kind of leadership that you'd have to give.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
If this being with Jesse,
like you have a number of things in there, and let's just see what you've got. Let's share a little bit here, just see what things you came up. What type of adjustments did you have to make in the psychological area? Okay, someone want to share some of your thoughts? Yes. Okay. Loneliness, being alone, no longer just part of the bunch, but you've been separated. Okay? Yes? Frustration of what was that?
Dual,
okay. Dual of what? Good, okay. So there's a tension there, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Wayne? Okay. Tension being a friend and supervisor. Okay.
Is
okay. Is that the psychological pressure that Bob goes through? Wondering what in the world is that idiot gonna do? Yeah. We didn't put physical in here. I'm sorry. Got to grow a little bit. Did you guys have a valid point? I missed it. Okay. All right. Some other. Yes. Uh-oh. Okay. The them. Those guys you've been criticizing all the time. You're now one. Okay. Okay, any others on the... Yes. Okay, uh-huh. That could also be the... just in some of the tensions that we talked about here. Mm-hmm. Good, yes. The expectations people have with... okay, all right. Of others, now they become stronger. All right? Yes? Dan? Okay. Good. Uh-huh. Good. Yes?
In the area of emotional burden, the weight of giving conflict so many major life decisions.
Okay. All right? Yes? So there's a tendency when you first step in to do that, okay? Assuming too much. Okay, there's one, yes. Okay. Okay. You said there's a possibility of financial pressure. Because you can't keep up the budget because you're not directly relating to the ministries where some of your giving came from. Okay, let's, yes. Excuse me? Okay, and that adds to that tension you're talking about before. Okay, so the tension with a lack of support. Oh, that, okay. Mm-hmm. So the frustration. Yes, Dick.
Full increase. We have greater control over our own
Okay, so that deals a lot with the leadership, but you're talking about the pressure that brings about. Okay, so he's talking about the idea of the less control, but you're responsible for everything that happens. Okay? But responsible. Okay. Let's slide down there to the spiritual. What spiritual areas needed to be adjusted? All right, Rusty? Oh, Dick, yeah. At least it did with Martin Luther. Yeah, I guess you've all heard that. So you feel that pressure there, you're saying. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right, yes, Rusty? Okay, it's good. Because of the modeling aspect?
Well, I think it's a lot of things. If you get into the things done, you can't maintain the belief environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have less direct.
Because you have less direct control of it. Okay, you're one removed. All right, anything else? Yes?
So what Chuck? You call it, there is spiritual warfare.
Okay. Good. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so lower degree of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, okay, and you can sometimes get away with the pulling out things you've done before. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, is that in the area of faith that you were saying?
Oh, I think a lot of it. You know, how to relate to people, how to lead, take more than they need.
Okay, so, relating?
2 Corinthians 12.
Okay, good, all right. All right, let's jump down to ministry. What adjustments there? Yes? So now team ministry, is that what you're saying, begins to evolve? A whole different type of thing. A concept, okay.
Pressure to model.
In spite of the responsibilities as well in leadership, okay. Travel. So they're being gone from the ministry, okay? Mm-hmm. Good.
Pressure from outside opportunity.
Pressure from outside. Okay, pressure from outside opportunities. Yes. So work through others, and that whole area, just seeing ministry through others rather than get the immediate feedback yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Quality of content.
Could you expand on that, quality of content? Okay. You're expected especially to have that. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so you don't have a direct responsibility for ministry to keep you going, but now you're a little bit more of a master of your time, but yet other responsibilities. Yes. Bill? So now the organizational stewardship comes in. Good. Mm-hmm. Yes, Dave? So helping others in their ministry and gifts, okay? Okay, so that's, they're on the direct line, you're backed off. Yes?
Often nothing to show for that effort. You don't think you administer to others and helping them in their ministry. You don't have
Mm-hmm. And that's where you get into this. I mean, we've all experienced that frustration. I think it's a key point. I was talking with somebody just the other day who was involved in all the difficult part of the ministry. A couple of staff problems came up, and one didn't appreciate what had been done, and yet there was a lot that was done for that person, and he almost wanted to just hang it and give it up. And it was exciting as he was sharing how Ephesians 3 just really ministered to the fact that there's a privilege to this calling and the privilege that Paul expressed in the calling to the gospel. I know in wrestling through this transitional stage of my own life, the one that helped me a great deal was the study of Nehemiah, his example, seeing that Nehemiah is credited with building the wall, but never from what we know, put one brick on another. He didn't touch the wall, perhaps. And yet he's credited with giving, with developing it. And I think from that standpoint, it was helpful just to see that he provided that inspiration, the contents, the direction, the motivation, problem solving, so that the building could go on. But you need to settle that in your heart, and we need to prepare people for that. Okay? Yes. So the breadth of ministry is greater, yeah. And not only you're talking about the numbers, but you're talking about maturity and levels of maturity. Very good. Dan? Good. Okay. Jim? That's an interesting observation, yes. Taking people you haven't necessarily recruited or developed yourself, suddenly now you've taken people that are just assigned to you or your responsibility. Okay?
I'm running. You need to resist when that happens, to lead and not to manage.
Yes. Good. Okay. And to win that credibility with that person. That's right. Okay? One last one there. Daryl? Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're challenged when you go up that. Okay. How about leadership? What changes do you experience in your giving of leadership and your leadership that is you've practiced it before? What adjustments were there?
A little graph on the other thing is that you need to learn to lead more by influence than directly.
Okay. Okay. Not directive. All right. Anything else? Okay. lead others more skilled and protect in certain areas. All right? Yes. Okay. Communication. It's now even more important. Okay. Harv. Okay. Admin skills have to come in there. The handling things, organizing things. Yes. Harv. Okay, so it's not just the ministry that's now carrying you, but also how you can lead others, all right? Anything else? Dave? Okay, so in other words, you're just strengthening the whole aspect of communication.
Is it?
Oh, it's more difficult. Okay, that's all right. So it increases in importance, but also it's difficult. You've got levels. You've got different things. All right. So at the difficulty of it. All right. Anything else in the area of leadership? Yes, Daryl. That's right. It's sometimes you can only, all you can do is pray and give room. Uh-huh. Okay. Excellent. Norm? Okay. So in other words, not that you weren't perhaps in a other sense, but now even more important, putting their interests, right? Okay. So that's one of the big things here is others and helping them be successful, okay? All right, anything else? Well, yes, excuse me. Increased transparency, good. Mm-hmm. People are looking to us and so we need to, they want to see what they're aspiring perhaps to be even like us and certainly looking to us, yes.
That is just dealing with expectations.
Yeah. Up and down. Okay, expectations again here. All right, Ron? Okay. Even the whole decision-making process changes, doesn't it? Now you need to be involving them, the decision-making process, and that's a shift in our leadership. Yes. Okay, that has to do, fits into that transparency, that they're seeing that you are growing, right? Very good. Okay, so the impact of what our weaknesses are affected here. Because those can be transferred. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, this is an excellent list. One could even take this and move with it in preparing the people if you're looking at them for future leadership. I think the important thing that you have to remember is the shift when he goes or she goes or whatever of being responsible for other people. That's important. Other staff level, mature people. It is a big jump. And it's a jump emotionally. It's a jump, as we've said, these four areas. They need to understand that. We need to prep them for it because it's critical to their survival. Now, how do you feel you could have been prepared for these adjustments? What are some things we could just do? Let's just brainstorm for a moment. What would be some things that could bring these in, could have conveyed these, helped us be prepared for them? What would be one way that you might do that? What would be some things? Okay, mm-hmm. Apprenticing, so following and being with them, okay? So they're just actually working with them, mm-hmm. Good. All right, anything else? What ways would you do this if you're trying to, if you're going to, in a year, put a man into this responsibility, what way would you do this? So a preparatory responsibility. Okay? Yes, Dave, and then... Okay, he's saying, in light of the load of the responsibilities of leaders, how could we bring someone along with us and take them with us and do all those different things? So, brings up a point that we'll be dealing with. Yes, Dan? Okay, so interact with other leaders, okay, who are already in that position, all right? Exactly. Just preparing him for that.
See?
Trips with leader, okay? Okay, so the biblical perspective on this, that leading other leaders is, or other staff is a valid ministry. All right, that's important. There was a lot of, I know we've dealt with a number of staff that have just struggled with that. Yes. Okay, and see how they're functioning with it. Good. Okay. Yes, Don?
In New York, the year before we set up Area 65, we had a buddy system for the senior staff and one of the younger staff.
Okay, so they're... Okay, so you were almost talking about mentoring in that aspect. Okay, getting someone a little older have done that. Yes. As he goes into it, okay, very good. Clear expectations. Go ahead. Okay, a whole plan to develop him into that, the preparation. Okay, Daryl? Say that again a little louder. Good. So it's not only the husband, but it's the husband and wife team that needs to be prepared for this. Very good. Okay. Larry? So he really knows himself going into this, okay? So we help him just to know himself, his gifts. Okay. Well, how many had that done to you? Most of it was a phone call or suddenly you were there or before you know it, you looked around and you were one. Do we start? Do we keep? That's the hard thing. I think that's the biggest challenge to leadership is to do something that wasn't done with you and to somehow break the chain of passing on, well, phooey, that was the way it was done with me. Just buckle up and get on with it. But we don't have to do that. We're not a slave to our past. And hopefully, as you just look through these things and you do have leaders coming on board or soon to take us responsibility, we could take a look at that. Now, this leads us into the whole area of this apprenticing, because apprenticing is where that relationship is existing formally and where you have responsibility for developing that person, getting that person ready, continually developing them, whether they're in position as a leader or they're going on. we always want to be preparing them, developing their capacities. And here again, I've repeated these five tools that we need. But we've got a little bit of illustration that you'll see in the next page that will help us get into that. And what I'd like to do is just go ahead and take the break now for about 15 minutes, and then we'll come back into this. Okay? Let's take a break for 15 minutes.
I didn't make it verbally, but on the if you should happen to fall into this thing by default, I mean, they're going to be such worse people.
Oh, right.
But I think if they do move, still do something. Still do them, but also I think give it a couple of years.
And if you could look over on that one chart that we have. I can't. I tripped again. First of all, I just want to make some comments regarding the whole leadership development. It is a process, as is evangelism, as is many, as are many other things. Development, leadership development is a process. We must study the process and to seek to understand it, and then apply it personally. Now, in talking with two men that have studied the navigators, both professors, they made the comment that navigators, basically navigator staff, do not make good developers of leaders. I asked them why they said that, and they said because navigators do so many things instinctively, they never stop to ask why they do things. And you cannot develop leaders if you don't ask why. Now, that's an interesting observation. And I think it's one that we need to be very... He was right on cue. The reason is... we learn that ministry, we get out there, we get going, we learn how to do things by observing models, we go with people, and before you know it, after 6 or 7 years involved in our ministry, we do many things instinctively. Not necessarily that we haven't looked at areas, but our leadership and the leading of a ministry is instinctive to many of us, and that's not bad. The only thing I'm saying is that we need to stop and ask why we do certain things. Why? And to understand. Discover what happened and why and how it happened. These will help us, these questions and the answers to those, will help us in the development of our leadership. So that we need in the process as we go along in developing leaders, all along the process, continue to look at what has happened and ask why it's happened. And what can we understand about that? But in order to do apprenticing well, there are two things that are required. Continuity and proximity. You cannot apprentice another person without continuity and proximity. Continuity for the consistency, the teaching and the training, and the proximity for relationship, for modeling, for coaching. It's not the same as what we'll get into later in mentoring. So it's very important that we have continuity and proximity. I think there in itself is a challenge because so many of us are busy. But if we take on the responsibility of apprenticing others, we do need to make sure that those two things are present, continuity and proximity. We have to have the right circumstances and enough time. And I would really encourage you to think that if you have entered into apprenticing relationship with some staff, that you need to have that continuity and proximity to do that. Now, let's get to this illustration. First of all, there are some corrections. I had, this was changed quite a while ago, but for some reason we found the old one in our reproduction and reproduced the old one. So you'll see there are a couple areas. Number one is the word is not performance here, it's demonstration. Performance would, in a sense, be an anathema to us, and it is. When I first developed this a long time ago, that was there. I have no idea how this thing surfaced again, but it did. And then the word adding and confidence of the leader. And then up here under leader, where it says as one goes up the steps, there are proportionate growth and increase. Down here is we want to eliminate the delegation. You can just cross it out, and just the other two are there. Under leader in that box. That leaves three. Why? I tell you, he's quick. Okay, just to get that adjustment. Now these steps evolved from an experience that I had actually in dealing with a pastor back in Vienna, Austria. He was involved with more people and more things going on. This small church grew up, and suddenly he had many, many... Yes? Oh, question.
Is that confidence?
Confidence. Thank you. Confidence. The leader's confidence in the person. And here was this pastor who had some 115, 120 people around him, and it was still growing. And he was absolutely frustrated because he didn't know what to do with them. And he was doing everything. Excuse me, he was counseling, he was teaching, he was pastoring, he was had some new believers, he was leading a Bible study, he was out in evangelism, everything. He had a list of almost 12 major areas that he was involved with. And so as we talked it through, he obviously had to get rid of some. Help, he needed help. Well, you can't just delegate it, and that's what often happens. Somebody gets absolutely frustrated and says, here, it's yours. And so they plopped it, you plop it out on somebody else's plate, and they have to go with it. So we sat down and talked about these 12 areas, what he wanted to do and what others could do. And with some training, we could work them up into a place where they could effectively take over. And so over the years, as this experience turned out to be a successful one, as we worked it through, I've added to this and been helpful with the leadership, and the one-minute manager picked up some of these terms. I had these terms as just, didn't have terms, I just had numbers. But let me just go through it with you, and then we'll talk, give some illustration, and we can talk about it. In the directive level, this first level here, we see this is simple. This is where someone relates to you, and you hold the task, responsibility, and authority, as you can see down here, that's the right to decide and take action. You give that person something to do, give instructions. You monitor the performance. And then when that person is finished, they come back, you give them more instructions, and they go out and do that. Now this, as you can see, the directive level, you wouldn't want to stay there very long with this person. It's dull. It's very directive, he never goes any further. We obviously want to bring people along as fast as we can. But the frustration I find in many navigator circles is the same in other places, and I've experienced it as well. You suddenly are overwhelmed with responsibilities, and you tend to jump from directive right up to delegation. The person winds up frustrated because he's not really sure what to do, but he takes a hold of it and moves, and doesn't realize that you had certain expectations and that he didn't know all he needed to do that job until suddenly he's done something wrong or he's missed something. And then we yank the rope back, and he's discouraged. So we need to move the person up the various relationship levels, leadership relationship levels. So we move him up to coaching. As the person then, as I said here, progresses, he demonstrates that he knows what's going on and that there are certain confidence that you have and that he does know that. So you move him to the coaching level. There, he takes more responsibilities. You can see there, there's more... You give general instructions rather than specifics. You monitor performance as well, and then he comes back. And this time, as he follows the general instructions, when he comes back, he participates in the next series. And so he then goes through that process. As he demonstrates that he's developing in his capacity, developing in his understanding, he's getting your thinking as you're interacting, he moves up to the next level, the supportive relationship of leadership. And so now you can see it's a shift over. At this point, it's a critical point. Because from here on, he now takes over more responsibility. You can see he shares the task, responsibility, and authority. You give guidelines now rather than general instructions. You're available as a consultant. Consultant is different than a counselor. Consultant can take initiative, can move into the situation, whereas a counselor waits to be approached. You set the date of a progress review now rather than a date of completion, and you monitor basically the progress. But the ball is moving very strongly into his court. He makes plans consistent with these guidelines. He initiates, he decides action. So he is now operating more independently. To where you have now confidence, you've seen him develop to a point, you then can delegate and give him the responsibility of a particular area. Now you just have expectations, goals, or if dates are appropriate, you're available for counseling, and he begins to move. Now I've seen as you move through the process, this is apprenticing. This is moving someone, developing someone into position. Now in your mind you may be saying, well golly, this is just true back when I was training people on the campus in evangelism. You're absolutely right. That would be applicable there. I can apply it even to my son. When we first got to Colorado Springs, everybody had a fireplace, and we did too. It was exciting, and our kids got excited about having a real fireplace. We've never had one before. I mean, one that works. So we bought some wood. I didn't really know a whole lot about buying wood. I probably got ripped off or whatever, but I got all this wood and threw it in the fireplace, and sure enough, it hardly burned. I don't know where they got it, what trees they were, but mine didn't burn very well. But I noticed that I had to split it several times to make it small. So I said to my son, who was at this time 15, I said to him, Scott, would you go out and chop the wood? I gave him an axe. I told him a little bit about it. I just was frustrated, didn't have the time. So rather than walking it through, I just said, delegation, Scott, go chop the wood, make it in small pieces. Well, about 10, 15 minutes after I had told him that, I decided to walk around the back of the house and take a look. I stopped and stared with great awe. What I had seen was a young guy swinging wildly as he set that thing, and before it tilted over, he whoom, catch it. Well, this beautiful grass that we had deep divots in all over the place, and the piece that he was working on, he had driven almost out of sight into the grass. Well, I said, whoa, what are you doing? He said, I'm splitting the wood. Well, I looked over here, and I saw little teeny pieces, big pieces. It was split all right, but there wasn't any consistency. So I said, whoa. I said, how did you ever, don't you know how to split wood? He said, well, I've never done it before, but I figured just swing at it. And I said, oh, son, well, so we went over and got a big log, a round one there, and set that up. I said, now you put this log here, and you set it up here. Now you take this thing, and you just tamp it into the middle, and get it in there, and then you can bang, bang, and it'll... Well, we worked it through, he did it, and we went back and forth, and so I moved him to the coaching level. He got to that place, I said, now you do the next 10, and we'll see. So he did it there, and I was watching, and then we talked about it a little bit more, and after that, well, it got a little bit boring to it. You know, this is dead. He says, now, I bet I could probably, and I said, oh, no, you stay right at coaching. So we kind of worked it through. Well, it didn't take but a couple days, and he was up to delegation. Now he could do a beautiful job of splitting them, stacking them. He had to learn how that. He just kind of threw them, and he got into the place. Well, I realized these steps can apply to anyone. They can apply to staff. They can apply to those who are leaders of staff. Now, I've seen them apply to areas of planning, staff counseling, finances, supervising other leaders, missionary sponsoring, all these different things that you and I have responsibility for. Now, let me just give you one other illustration, and I'll stop, and then we can talk. You can ask some questions, and we'll go on, and I'd like to work through something together. It doesn't mean, as this person goes up and as we work through with a person in this area, that the the person you're working with goes up in that area in all areas, or goes up in these relationships in all areas. It could very well be that in one area he'd be in delegation, another area still working on coaching or supportive. So it doesn't, if you're working maybe a 7-8 different areas, some could be up and some could be down. Or some, you know, they're just all moving towards this. Now what I've found in a practice, it's helpful to actually discuss this with people. Let them see this. Let them talk about the type of relationship that you would have with them in a certain area. Now I've done this with my own administrator right now. When he came to work with me, we identified 7 areas that he would be responsible for. And then I showed him these different relationships. We talked them through and I asked him, why don't you put down what you think, what relationship you'd like in these areas with me, and I'll put down the relationships I think you should be at, and we will sit down and discuss it. And we did. We got into several areas where there was disagreement. His, in fact, he wanted to be more in the directive coaching realm than he wanted to be further on. I had made some assumptions, but in the conversation it was clear. For instance, the area of finances. He had never dealt in the area of finances. So he wanted to be in directive. And I said, you know, I don't think I can handle it that way in light of my traveling, in light of different things that we're doing. How about if we work on it for about a month like that, but immediately get into coaching? So I said, all right. So we did that, and we worked on a number of things where he did some tasks. It was obvious that he was picking up on it very quickly, and so we moved to the coaching level. But he didn't want to move beyond coaching. And I thought that he was grasping a hold of some of these things, but he didn't want to go up into supportive in the area of finances. Because for him it was an area of, it was providing some security. And it's good to not move someone too fast. Some people say, let me up that stairway quick so I can get to the top as fast as can be. And I say, well, surely I would like to see you go up as fast as possible, but we'll go up there according to the demonstration of your understanding these things. And as we have that and it's clear and we both are confident of that, we'll move ahead. And so these things I found can be protective as well. So someone isn't thrown in and thrust into responsibility that they're not prepared for. And so we've moved along in those areas. Let me just stop for a moment, and I can give an illustration at a leader of staff level that might be helpful to you. But let me just stop and let's entertain any questions that might be on your mind as I've just explained this. Yes, Rod. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it can. I think the key is contact. And if you have a relationship where you understand and you're working on things, it can supplement. It can supplement. I would not say it could substitute, but it can supplement. Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me. He said sometimes proximity is hard, but can the telephone substitute for some proximity or bring it in? And I had just mentioned it can supplement it. It certainly can in our busyness. And there is a certain amount of proximity. It doesn't mean you have to be working with this person every day, but you have to be there enough to watch the continuity and the development. Any others? Yes?
Well, I've heard some staff who feel the coaching is a demonstration of lack of confidence. Delegating to the leader one day.
Yeah. Okay, he said he's run into some staff that any aspect of coaching is basically demeaning to them. And they said, just give me the job and back off. Well, I would say, in my experience, I just would not do that. I would explain this to them and say that he will get to delegation and have the job as soon as he has demonstrated he's ready for it. And that's basically what I would, how I would handle that situation. Now, it isn't hold him back. We can move him ahead as fast as we can. But it's important that we prepare people for delegation. That's what I'm basically hitting on. Apprenticing means we work the person into responsibility. It can be small areas, it can be large areas. Yes, John?
In any case there, wouldn't this be an opportunity to give a person opportunity to fail, and then use it to teach him, because he doesn't need any supervision, and give him a selective project and let him go at it, and when he tries to stake in the ground, covers the lawn?
Well, that's true. I think there's a certain amount of failure that you could have latitude, but I would like, in the apprenticing aspect, not in other areas, but in the apprenticing aspect, I think one needs to have room to fail, but not in terms of destroying or hurting himself or hurting some other aspect. I think once he's in the delegation and he's moving with it, then I want to give him room to deal, you know, more with perhaps if he's made wrong decisions, to live with it. But there'll be an aspect in the earlier areas, but I want to prevent that kind of thing. But I don't want to prevent him from learning experiences, but not failure because he didn't know. He hadn't been properly developed. Yes? Yeah, so that little box we haven't touched on, but the leader, as a person moves up and takes on more responsibility, obviously his capacity increases because he has more time and he can put his abilities into other aspects. So in effect, his capacity to handle other things increases because he's giving away other responsibilities and they're doing more for him or with him. Yes, Don or Dan? Okay, he's asked, how does character fit into this? And it doesn't necessarily fit in as what I'm describing. I'm talking about the development of capacity in the apprenticing. But it certainly would fit in as you and I would deal with somebody. And perhaps the very problem, they're capable enough to go up to supportive, let's say. But the character, he's just too eager to get responsibility for an ego. Well, then I would hold him there just on the basis of that, or I might decide to let him go with it and deal with it another way. But I definitely would bring that into consideration. Yes? I'm sorry, that's another addition I needed. Right. Added that confidence. In other words, the co-laborer, as he goes up, develops in responsibility, increases in that, increases in authority, the amount of authority he'll have, the ability to take initiative. And he participates more in the process and more what's going on, and his own confidence. His own confidence. Thank you very much, Gene. Yes? Well, it depends on what his question was. How do we prevent the idea of just passing on my idiosyncrasies, my prejudices, or my ideas, whatever, and let the person develop? And what you can do is give him room, and especially once he begins to leave the coaching stage, that's where we want to give them more and more room to do that. And I would say he begins to develop his own style or aspect. It comes out more in the supportive and the delegation stage. And that's where then we give him more freedom to do that. But in the directive and the coaching level, not so much. Now, the leaders in this room, I would imagine, that would very rarely get involved with directive because that's not where the people are that you're dealing with. But if I could just give an illustration that might be helpful. One of our leaders of staff, as we delegated all of the I delegated certain things. Now, this may seem contradictory, but as I assumed my responsibilities, I wanted to delegate a number of things to our field directors and on down. And I was prepared to deal with those things and come alongside and develop them where they weren't. I had to make certain assumptions and felt a lot of them were ready for certain areas. But one particular person was not ready for an area, and that is handling missionaries. He had never done that before. And so it's important to then work with that. So we basically went at the coaching level. Now, I didn't have the proximity, but it wasn't the kind of thing he's going to be dealing with every day. So we started working in that area. First of all, we discussed the authority that he would have over the sponsoring the missionaries he sponsored. We talked about procedures. We went through budgets. What is his part in that? We talked about furloughs. We talked about certain responsibilities he has when those furloughing missionaries are home. We went through these different areas. Then some specific cases came. And as soon as that case came in, we began to talk about that, how he would handle it, what needed to be done, and then he did it. So he began to go through this and very quickly picked up this idea, what needs to be done. And so we agreed that he would move up and be more in the supportive level. We didn't talk a whole lot about the moving up different levels, but basically let the rain out to operate more and more. But this was his desire as well as mine, as a matter of fact, more of his, because he wanted to move up in this area before he took over the responsibility. Then a situation came up, and we talked it through again, and in the talking through, we learned more about, oh, do I have the authority to do that? Can I hold this person? Or his whole furlough doesn't even include certain things, and I think it should. Do I have the authority? Yes, you have authority to do that. And so, in his own way, he did that and dealt with it. And so it was very, it didn't take long before picking up more and more of the idea and the responsibilities that he had. Another problem came along, dealing with the missionary coming back that didn't have enough money, was ready to go back, and was going to deal with, just go back and believe God. And so now that he was at this level and had quite a bit of experience, he decided, I don't think that's right. Took it upon himself to call over to that leader over in the other country and began to talk it through with them and held the missionary back and helped that missionary get that money. And before you know it, he was moving on and began to understand more and more. And so now at this point, that person is already, it's fully delegated to him. It was a helpful process. It protected him from making a mistake and then we have to go back. But it was an area, there are plenty of other areas he was at a delegation. But at this particular area, it was new. And so that person needed to be developed into it. And when that he felt he was ready for it, he said, it's mine, and they're off and going. And so now he feels confident that he understands how to handle the missionaries that his region sponsors. So this is where you can use those kinds of things. And I could give many illustrations of that at many levels. It can be a very helpful just conceptually as well as specifically moving up. Now, I'd like you to go to work, and I'm going to give you a responsibility. And I'm going to... Here's the situation. You have a staff person who is assuming responsibility for a staff woman. He's never dealt with this before, never led women. He is married. He's never dealt with this before, has no experience in leading a woman's staff. Now, for you women that are here...
Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing. For you women that are here, you can perhaps develop how you would prepare this woman to work with this new male leader who's now going to be responsible for her. So we obviously want to get this person to a place where... we could fully delegate it. Now, it'd be a disaster, I'm sure, if you've been around some places that I have, to just say, all right, here's a new woman staff, go at it. We don't want to do that because we know of enough disasters around that we want to protect these women. We want to make sure that they're developing and really getting into their responsibilities, and they have the freedom to do that, and see a ministry raise up around her that just would bless God. So we want to get to that place. So I'd like you to say you're at the coaching level. What kinds of things could you do with that person at the coaching level that would help the person understand and develop in his ability to lead a woman's staff? Okay, and then we'll see how we can get that person then. What would you want to see from that person to move them up to a supportive level? Okay, let's just think for a moment what you would do then to... Write them down yourself, and perhaps you can talk to your neighbor again, your buzz group, and maybe if you have a lady, she can help you a lot there. Wow, let's see what you've done as a helping this staff person into position at this level. What are some of the things, and perhaps general instructions that you could give him, and things that you'd want to be seeing demonstrate and understand before we could move them on to the supportive level. Okay? Let's have some of your thoughts. Okay. He said, a woman working for him, and don't blow it. Don't goof it up. Okay, what could we do to help him so he doesn't blow it?
Well, help him write a job description
for her. So that they write a job description. So, okay. Now, who would write the job description? Okay, so he'd develop it. Oops. Develop it with him, and then together with each of them sitting together and discussing it. Okay. What else? Yes. Okay, so you'd go over the philosophy of women's ministry that has been put out, and you'd go over that with them. Is that what you're saying? Okay, good. Uh-huh. So, cover together. Very good. Okay? Okay, so what are his expectations, concerns, perspective? Okay, good. We need to better get that out. Yes. Harvey? All right, who would get those expectations, get hers?
He would.
So you'd instruct him to get the women. Okay. Somebody has it. Yes. So you would cover the differences? So cover the differences in particularly the women's leadership style, and what else did you say? Or need? Okay, emotion, and perhaps the ministry pace. Okay, good. Uh-huh. Yes. Good. Okay, include wife in the process. Mm-hmm. So her expectations, but also her calling, you know, of God's leading. Yes, good. Okay, now that's an excellent thing. See, what we're seeing, and what it's obvious you're really, you have experience with this, and you're picking up exactly what, at this level, what you need to be doing is not just giving assignments, but coming back and going through it with the person. Not just assuming go do this and then walk away, but exactly what you said. Perhaps call. Then come back and we'll talk about what you've learned. Go, you know, get her expectations, calling, and maybe include the wife sitting in on that. Cover differences with him and go over that, and you take notes together and discuss it. There might be a book that would be helpful to read or something. But remember, you're at this coaching level where you're coaching him into this situation. So these are very good. Yes.
Boundaries beyond which he wouldn't go without
probably be first. And then also make some kind of agreement that he's going to take the initiative from some of you as things are emerging or that he can interact on.
Okay, so he needs to know the limits in terms of his own, you know, how far you want him to go, and that's where you can set that up, because it, just like you hear, you set the completion date, you say, well, listen, come back Friday and we'll talk about that, but if this happens or something, let's talk about it before you go on any further. Okay, now, yes. Okay, now I think that's that perhaps is the category of some of the things that Ruth was sharing earlier, just the cover some of the differences, but also that it brings in the other aspect. What does it mean to co-labor? And I think we'll understand then. He can understand on that that what is that concept? Yes. Okay, so her finances and how that would work out. Boy, this is great. You guys, we ought to take this as a real illustration here. Yes? No, I wouldn't assume that. I wouldn't assume that. Okay. Okay. Well, what you're saying here, see, is, and we don't, the purpose is not to get into the women's areas in a sense of all the details of that, but sticking with the this as coaching. But on the coaching level, that's right. You don't want to make a lot of assumptions. You want to check those out. And that's the purpose of it. See, because wouldn't that be something if you get up to delegating, or if you delegate too soon, never checked out assumptions, all of a sudden you delegated a responsibility of this to him, and boom, you know, it suddenly it explodes because of a difference with some basic assumptions. And these are the things that you do at the coaching stage, is find out those assumptions. Find out where he's coming from and she's coming from. Yes, okay? Okay, so you basically check with the woman's staff, okay? See how he's doing in following through in these responsibilities. Very good. All right, now what I'd like you to do is, let's say he's qualified. He's come through on this. And we're satisfied. He's come back and these things are coming along. What now would you do at the supportive level? What would you do at the supportive? Let's just take a few minutes to put that together. What would you do at the supportive level? I'll leave this up here, that you could carry that on. Let's say our confidence, and he's demonstrated that well on these, and we are confident that he could move to the next step and handle more responsibility, and we could delegate more to him. Yes. You retain the responsibility still. You haven't given everything, so you're checking everything. For instance, the job description, it wouldn't be written by them. You know, they'd work together, but you would be the one that would finally approve that. And all these other things, that everything, nothing would move ahead without your final approval. And that's coaching. Mm-hmm. Good question. Yes, Don. From a women's perspective, okay? Sure. He said he'd like to just hear how the women see this as this thing developing. You like what they're thinking of? Do you? Excellent. Okay. Yes. Okay, she said, just want to add the aspect that a woman should, we should really make sure that she fits into that job slot, not just assume, not just because the slot is open, put the woman in there, but that she fits. Is that correct? Okay, good. Ralph? Almost, that's correct. But I think at the coaching stage, you are giving him more latitude. You're not saying, go say this, do this, come back. And you're giving him more latitude. For instance, the suggestion that Roger made, contact the other staff. It's up to him when, how, who. You might give him a few names, but you'd give him the flexibility of that. And so there's more flexibility. And my experience shows that I would start in dealing with staff mostly at the coaching position. There are things that become very tense and suddenly you drop down into a directive level. I've done that. I've actually, because of some situations that have come up, we've suddenly dropped back for a period of time because we need to really work together very closely on this. It might be some kind of issue that's come up. We better work it through. And that's happened as well. But most basically you move the coaching level. But that's what the difference is. You're letting him have more responsibilities and you're giving him general instructions. You're not saying, now talk to this person, go to that person, do this. But you're saying, let's talk to some staff. Get their input and then come back to me and tell me what you've learned. And that's the difference. Yes?
Marty, did any of those up there cover his basic doctrine regarding women?
Okay, he said, now how about the covering of the basic doctrine of... Oh, yeah, go ahead. Well, I would. It seems like in the philosophy of women's ministry, I think that's probably would get into that. But if you wanted that, we could then add that in. So, in other words, you might say, do a Bible study on it.
His basic belief from the Bible is going to determine so much of what he does.
Right. Right, and that's what we're saying here. That's good. Okay, so we want to get into his understanding on that. Good. Okay. Let's be helpful if anybody are into that situation. All right, now let's go to the supportive level. Let's pick up on that. And what now, you're giving him more responsibility and authority to move with it. You've been pleased with this. And let's say he's passed these various areas. And now, what would you do at the supportive level to help him develop so we can delegate it? So this is the last step before delegation. What would you want to see happen before you could finally give over to him the full responsibility? Okay, just think about that for a minute, talk about it. We'll buzz for a little bit and then we'll get some input. You're fast. Or something else. All right, let's just see what we do at this supportive level. What would be some of those things? Yes? Personal development of who? So you would... Okay, so you would help, in other words, you give him the responsibility to develop a personal development plan with her. Okay? Uh-huh. Good. Okay. Okay, and then also ministry planning. Now, would you, what would your role be on this? Okay. He said that his role would be an observer. Would it be, yes? All right, excellent. That's a good compliment to that. So you would want to give guidelines at this level. That he's not just, you know, just that's delegation to just say, well, come up with a personal development plan. You'd give guidelines for that personal development plan as well as guidelines in this area here. And as some illustrations of that is what Roger said, her vacation, her time schedule, making sure she's getting some whatever, study or some areas that perhaps would be appropriate for her. And the same thing with ministry planning, clear guidelines, and then you would come back. You would make sure you're still, you'd set up a time to review then that progress. Okay, what else? What else would you do at this level? Meet with her, what and what for? Why? It's just instinctive, right? All right. That's a good point. In your supervising of staff or developing of staff, you consistently need to go under the level that he is. It's consistent you'd have to do that. You not only have to be aware of what he's doing with this what you're doing directly with that leader, but you continually need to go under that level to find out how are things going, because then you can help him with her. Many things that you find out you may never share, you just understand that, but then it gives you a context for leading him. But you always need to do that, and I find that that's something we need to work at. Keep going underneath that level of the direct level that you're supervising. And that's a good point. Thanks. Yes. You say, now you're checking that with him or with her?
Well, I'm giving him those ideas.
Oh, okay.
And because I'd like to see him work those things out rather than perhaps, I know what you're saying when you say go under him.
Yes.
But I think if we go under him and find that he is doing that, then we that's better than going under him and find that he isn't. And then we come back to him and say, hey, you've got to do this. I'd rather stimulate his thinking to the place where he will come up.
Good. Okay, so we want to stimulate him and help him take more initiative. And if we do go under, we may find that he's not taking that or not encouraging her, or she doesn't feel that freedom. When we come back up to deal with him, we may just ask questions, not make statements. I find that the biggest challenge in leading leaders is that it shifts over. You shift from 90% statements and few questions to when you lead leaders, it's 90% questions and very few statements. That's just a kind of a basic idea. Yes? Okay. The sharing, to some percentage degree, you will still keep responsibility. So that gives you the option of coming in on it whenever you'd like. So you share that responsibility so that you then can still come in on it. You can still veto, in a sense. In other words, if this guy was doing something absolutely wrong, you could sit down and talk to him. But if it got to a point where he wasn't doing it or it was going to be something that, absolutely didn't fit, then you could say no. So at that supportive decision, you still share the task responsibility. Whereas when you release that, It basically goes to him. And now if you want to remove the whole responsibility from him, that's one thing. Where's that? Oh, yeah. Well, you're releasing... Yeah, I guess I could... That's a good point. I could semantically clean that up. Probably it would be best to put sharing there in that second one, the coaching. It'd be a degree. It would only be a degree. I would see sharing the responsibility, so you're still involved, whereas the up and delegation, you give over completely. So that's a good point there. It's probably a better choice of words to say that we're sharing that responsibility. The point there was that you're releasing a little bit more, a little bit more. Okay, but that is confusing. That's a good point. We can put down there that sharing it. Yes? So here, and that would be very appropriate. That's exactly right. That's at the supportive level. You would review these plans and that these things appear. Good.
And the second thing would be that I would have co-labor bring the difficult items, whatever they may be, difficult problems or issues to me or counsel.
Okay.
Rather than taking the initiative to try to deal with it and settle it, to share that responsibility.
Okay. And you could keep close touch with him on that and fine. Okay. So dealing us. Yes. Okay. Rusty or Chuck. Let's have Chuck first. This Chuck. Up Chuck. Oh, no Chuck.
One of the things I would do is write in the calling or get to touch on things, but not necessarily give him the answer to the call number. Listen to his explanation. Ask him what he's doing the options are. If none of them are going to sink the ship, don't give him an answer. Say, well, I just try that in the back. In other words, give him a little rope.
All right. Let me just ask you a question. In this particular case, at what point would failure or letting him have rope, what limit would you see? Exactly. Yeah, good. So if he'll run into the wall by himself, that's one thing. Right. Okay. Good. Just want to check. Okay, Chuck. Yes.
I don't think we're assuming it, but before I would want to delegate that, I'd want to see a demonstrated relationship between the woman and that couple, and then she has to be fulfilled. So not quite present, but I think it's probably pretty important. If you can do all these things, then neither one of those will be true.
Okay, so she's content. She's growing. You said she's happy. Okay, that's very important. So we'd want to make sure that's true. Yes, Joyce? Excellent. Okay, that's an excellent point. Did you catch that? That he then should start working her on this ministry planning and development along the same lines. Putting her on coaching and support. In other words, he ought to be turning around and reproducing this with her. He ought to be releasing more and more of those responsibilities that he has as well. So that's a very good point. He is apprenticing her. Okay. Okay. Good. Yes, back there.
Does he know where he is in progression?
Excuse me?
Does he know where he is in progression? You say, we're now moving from the coaching.
Yeah. I, if it were my responsibility, I would, yes, he would know where he is.
But he'd be very familiar with his whole country.
I have found it to be the most helpful if the person is. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Bruce?
Also, had him come up with a plan as to how his wife could be involved there.
All right, now, did you hear that? All right, he said, I'd like you to comment on it, that he would have her, or him, come up with a plan, how often he's going to get with her, what he's going to be talking to her, things to check out with her, and then that kind of thing. Tell me, how do you respond to that? Is it is that the right level, or yes, Rusty? Okay, what do the others think? Yes, John? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're hitting here. I think we want to help her, and the point that Joyce brought up is the begin learning to apprentice, that he is apprenticing her. He is starting to coach her. And so we can follow through on that as well. And so we know the plans, we know the things, and we're getting into that. Well, I think you're catching a hold of this. And as I said before, a lot of it is similar to what we've been doing. But I think the important thing... is that we take the time to think it through. We take the time to see that person develop, regardless of what area it's in. If it's a primary area, we want to take the time to work it through. Explain where the person is, what our relationship, whether it's to be a directive, coaching, supportive, and then we begin there. We explain what the ground rules or what the freedom or the authorities would be and how much I'll keep and the rest. But then we get that, and then we start giving out these responsibilities or tasks or whatever we're doing, and we follow through with the level that it's appropriate. And when it's been satisfied to his and ours satisfaction, we have confidence, we begin to move him up, and then we know this. And you see that if we went through this and with this staff person and his dealing with these leading a staff woman, by the time we delegate this, you see all we would know? You see how much he would have developed? We wouldn't run into the problems of suddenly he's got a different doctrine, or suddenly there's tension, he doesn't know how to handle it. We've talked that through. He's learned a great deal. He's grown. He has confidence that he can lead women. He can even help others, in this case help a woman's staff learn to apprentice, and he can start developing that person in the process. We've multiplied ourselves. We've caused this person to increase in the confidence, in their responsibility, their initiative, and they're motivated. It's a positive experience. It's not just someone, confining. So it's, I think, it's the area that causes you and I to have fun in the ministry, to see that kind of growth. And I think, as a leader, that's got to turn you on, to see someone develop, to see someone grow. And let's just fill this portion out here just to see that. Let's, at the directive level, who takes the initiative? The leader or the co-laborer? Okay, so the initiative is in the leader's hands. How about the authority? Okay, leader. And what role then is, what is the leader's role? He's a director, right? Have you ever studied the biblical background and precedent for the word director? Is there anything in the Bible that would help us say that there's a director? Or help us understand that? Look in there sometime on that. It's as far, you never see the word, but it's interesting. Because that word is a very difficult word, especially if you put it together with all the background that we now use, director, having total authority. Okay, coaching. Who has the initiative? Okay, it's both at this point, but primarily the leader. He is he is starting to draw this co-laborer in. Who has the authority? The leader. Now, what is the leader's role in this case? Okay. He's a coach or what you call a facilitator. He's another, perhaps, a facilitator, helping him. Now here, I think, is where the fun starts. So as soon as you can get somebody to that place, appropriately to that place, that's really where you start to see the progress, and you see it in the person. Now, at the supportive level, who has the initiative? Okay, the co-laborer. Who is the authority? Okay, it's shared. They both have it, okay? And it based on the degree, but my experience shows that it probably, it's like a 60-40 or a 70-30 type of thing. The ball is moving more and more into his court at this point. So the co-laborer has the 70% or more. He's starting to pick up more and more on it. What is the leader's role? He's the consultant, okay? And the reason I use the word consultant is just because the consultant can take initiative, can move back in, and he can inject himself into the process if he'd like. Now, as far as the delegation, all the way across, the co-laborer has the authority, has moved into the level of delegation in a particular area, has the value and the advantage of all of that development, and is there with confidence, knowing that they can handle the job, handle the responsibility, and use their initiative, their creativity, and you see that work through. It's just a delight. Now, I've only just put in the next page just some basic passages, and one of the things I have found that in the Bible you don't find a perfect pattern of this apprenticing, but you do find enough there that gives you a pretty good idea that Jesus was involved with it with his disciples. There were times that are almost humorous where the disciples tried to take delegation, tried to take more authority, and they just didn't have it, they didn't know how to do it, and they kind of backfired on them. And you see that in Mark 9, 14 through 21. They were moving to delegation level, and then boom, it wasn't there. They hadn't learned enough on that one. And then you see some of the basic directive were the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark 8 there, especially 9 through 1 through 9, where the disciples were directed at where it is end, not as, and they responded. He said, put them in lines, put them in groups. You know, and he was there, was at the directive level. And you'll see, perhaps in the gospel model, I would see more and more of this apprenticing, because that's where they learn, and that's where they need to know these types of things. And then the ultimate delegation, even though they didn't feel like perhaps they're ready, in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Guys, I'm turning the ministry over to you. And when he left, go make disciples of every nation. And the empowering of the Holy Spirit and all their experience and the development allowed them to begin doing that. And you see a little bit with Paul and Timothy. So at this point, because you've done so well, we're going to quit. So, some of you don't want to. Well, all right. So let's, go ahead, Chuck. Yeah. Yes. In other words, there is a certain amount of awareness that you need to keep touch with, but not in the same way that you're doing in the supportive area. You come together, you talk about it, you arrange for time, and just update. And that's where the time that we talked about before, just a periodic review of all the responsibilities would come out in that area. And then if you have that relationship, he'd be coming back and consulting. Okay? Let's just thank the Lord. And look at that, the rain's gone, it's all set. Some of you guys are going rock climbing. Is that right? Oh my goodness. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father, just for the wonderful privilege you've given to us to lead. In many cases, when we think of our inadequacies, we are a bit awed that you would even consider us worthy to carry the responsibilities. But we thank you. We thank you for the fact that you have set the pace. You have filled us with your Spirit. You have given us the Bible that can teach us and can cause men and women to become fully equipped laborers and leaders for the kingdom. So I thank you for the time we've spent. I pray that those things which apply to our lives, you would help us apply it. and that you would give us understanding. And bless us now as we take this break over the evening and bring us back in the morning refreshed. For it's in your name we ask it. Amen.